You're listening to CIOI The Hawk 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
Hey guys, happy Tuesday. Hope you've had a great evening so far, and thanks for tuning in to Hot Shots on Air. Tonight I'm speaking with Juliana Jones, and she is a pop slash R&B singer-songwriter, vocal teacher, and businesswoman based in Hamilton and Toronto. You can find Juliana on all streaming services, Instagram and Facebook as Juliana Jones, on Twitter as Juliana Jones with three S's, and Juliana Jones Official on TikTok. You can also find her website at julianajonesofficial.com. So, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. So I guess like first things first, for anyone who's not very familiar with your music, how would you describe your sound and style?
I would say that my style is very much so like pop R&B. It's kind of where my genres fall very close to. I try to really think outside the box when it comes to a lot of types of music that I write. I love the singer-songwriter aesthetic as well. I'm a huge advocate for singer-songwriters and promoting and helping those who are in that genre as well, because that's considers its own genre, which is super awesome. But yeah, very classy, independent woman. That's a lot of what I stand for, while embracing the pop and R&B style for our music.
Who are your biggest musical inspirations?
My biggest musical inspiration, I have a couple. I think that they've changed, obviously, as I've grown up, but I've really been a fan since I was a little girl of Ariana Grande. I think that she's a very strong, independent woman. She's been through a lot, as much as a lot of us have been as well, so that's super relatable. And I've also started to fall majorly in love with Julia Michaels as well. She's an incredible songwriter. I relate very much to her in her songwriting and just her music and the way that she is. She's super different from a lot of other artists. I've recently been listening to a lot of Olivia Rodrigo. She just released something, an album not too long ago, and her songwriting is also incredible. So those are most of my biggest influences that have been a part of me in the past couple of years, long time, yeah.
Mm-hmm, for sure. When did you first discover your love for music?
I was about maybe 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. I was super young. I had the privilege of being able to start singing lessons when I was 7 or 8 years old, so I was super young. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with it then, because it was just something that I really enjoyed to do, like, freely. So being able to have the opportunity to bring it to something that's my job and my career, I'm super grateful to be able to have that opportunity.
Yeah, totally. What did you listen to at that age, and who were your biggest influences back then?
Oh my goodness. I had a lot. I think it depends. Like, my first ever album that I ever was gifted, that I had like pretty much had and was my own, surprisingly, was Akon. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that very much. It was something really out of my comfort zone. I think I was like 8 or 9. But I grew up with a lot of like rockish influences as well as that kind of genre. Like my first ever concert was Bon Jovi and I was 7. So that was something that I was excited to see at that age. Like, it was something that was completely different. It was, you know, I was really excited to see someone on stage and sing. And then I kind of just like started to grow into that, as the years went on.
Mm-hmm. I know that, your dad's a big metalhead. Did he have a lot of influence on you then?
Pardon me?
Did he have a lot of influence on you then? Like, growing up and listening to a lot of metal and like heavy rock?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit, not too much. But as I grew up, I started to like a lot of that music more. I fell in love with Paramore. I really, really liked their style of music for a long time. I really liked their Riot album. There was a lot of good stuff on that, and I resonated with that. But it wasn't something that I listened to a lot of when I was younger like that. It was a lot of something that was just put in there here and there, but it was a lot of different genres that kind of were collected, and I think that shaped my childhood, and then that kind of just like brought me up to where I am right now.
Mm-hmm. When did you start looking at creating music as something more than a hobby?
When I couldn't see myself doing anything else. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of options and a lot of things I wanted to do when I was younger. I originally wanted to be a lawyer when I was younger. It was something that I wanted to pursue as a job. I had a lot of law influence from some family members, and I wanted to take that to the next level, but then I really thought really hard about what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, and it always just fell to music. Like, there was no question. It was always, you know, oh, well, music's there. Like, it was always just something that was always in my focus, in the front four of my vision, always. And I would always second guess myself to do other things, but I always knew that I was meant to do music. Like, I just always knew. When I was in high school too, I started writing songs when I was 12 years old. So having that and starting super young, I kind of knew that I really wanted to take it to the next level. And I decided to take those extra steps to make sure that I was able to continue that and make that something that I can now call my career.
Hmm. So I know that you actually went to an arts high school in Brampton where you grew up. How was that experience? And do you feel as though that school prepared you for the industry?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I would say 50-50, as every high school has their things, you know. I was really lucky enough to have really great, professors. Like, I was really happy to have an amazing vocal teacher, throughout all my 4 years, and it was very consistent through all my 4 years of school when I went there, and that didn't change, and we got a lot of opportunities to perform in front of large crowds and compete in different cities like New York and Philadelphia, just to name a few of the cities that we've done. And it shaped me to be able to build confidence to sing in front of large crowds, because I know that tends to be something that a lot of singers have to really learn, and they get put through like boot camp to do those types of things. So I was really fortunate enough to have the experience as a young age to be able to perform in front of these crowds and build a confidence and really fall in love with that feeling of being confident on stage and singing in front of a lot of people and, you know, engaging with that and finding, you know, I would run off adrenaline from, you know, having an audience in front of me. And I think that's super, super cool. It definitely shaped my future, I would say.
Was your family supportive of you pursuing art as a career? I know most families generally aren't, just because they don't see it.
Yeah. In the beginning, no. In the beginning, it was a battle. I think it was because, you know, obviously family, they want you to be supported. And I think having, you know, a quote unquote normal job is something that, you know, can really give you that 9-to-5, you know that you're getting paid, and that kind of feeling, where music is always up and down, especially with the pandemic, it's always up and down. So I think in the beginning, it was definitely a battle. But then I really showed them that this was something that wasn't an option. It was something that I just knew that I had to do, and I've been doing it for a long time now, and they've seen the growth. They've seen the successes that I've had, and they've realized that, okay, you know what? This is something that we can now support her, because we've seen her drive to do it. And I think that's super important to show to different people. And that's why I'm such an advocate for younger artists, pursuing their, you know, wanting to pursue art and music, because, you know, there's a way of living through it, and it's not just something that isn't considered a normal job. So in the beginning it was hard, but now it's something that I'm really thankful that my family supports through thick and thin, for sure.
So you mentioned that you started creating music around the age of 12. I have curiosity. Do you remember the first song that you wrote?
The first song I wrote?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. I actually, it's funny, because every now and then I'll actually like think about the first song that I ever wrote. Mm-hmm. I remember writing it on my aunt's laptop. And in Italian, we call them our aunt's Tia. Mm-hmm. So on my Tia's laptop, I remember writing down this whole thing. You got like a first verse and a pre-chorus and a chorus and all that. And it was just funny, because, you know, thinking back to that now when I'm like 23, it's crazy to think about that I had that, you know, I had something when I was 12, and I didn't really know what that was called yet. It was just something that I had done for fun. You know, I didn't even know that was considered songwriting. I kind of just wrote some randomness that, you know, I didn't have a piano to write to. I didn't do any of that. I just wrote a melody, and I thought it was cool on my grandmother's or my aunt's laptop. So I thought it was, it's cool to think about now. And I think about it quite often. So it's really cool. Yeah, I do remember it.
Yeah. What are the biggest ways that your songwriting has changed since then?
I think mainly the artists that I listen to. I think growing up, I've had a lot of different, again, like a lot of different influences from a lot of different genres, like rock, pop, even hip hop, and pulling from those, and discovering new artists has helped me grow into a new realm of things to talk about. I think that's also something that comes with growing up, and experiences that you have growing up, you know, from like heartbreak and love and, you know, all that, the stuff that you sing about and different events and stuff that happens. I think it's super important to go through all these events to help you create and be a better storyteller. It really defines your personality, and it helps, you know, it helps paint a bigger picture for when you're trying to explain your song, or you're explaining words, yeah, through a song, right? It's you're basically like a poet and kind of portraying it through a melody, and it's super cool to be able to have all these experiences and go through it. And I think going through all these experiences in life is definitely one, and I think having influences from the music that you listen to is definitely one that I've noticed within the past 2 years. I think that's changed drastically for me, and the things that I write about and the things that I want to focus on, especially when it comes to the music I create and the products that I put out and the things I want to talk about in my music. I think that's, it's played through all of the experiences that I've had in my life thus far and the artists that I've listened to and created and discovered.
So, you attended Mohawk College for music. There are a lot of musicians who don't go to college for music. They just create the music. Why did you decide to, further your education and actually pursue, a music degree or diploma?
Why did I decide to?
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I wanted to take my education as far as like music like theory and stuff like that. I knew that I wanted to take that to the next level to help my playing ability, because everything that I had done thus far, at that point in my life when I was 18, had been self-taught. So, you know, like playing the piano or kind of getting by on the guitar, everything was kind of self-taught for myself. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I wanted to be a little bit more educated, and, you know, meet new people was definitely one, and experience what it was like to go to college, because it's hard for a lot of kids who, you know, make that decision to go to post-secondary, especially for music. I think people get turned off on that, and it's interesting to see, you know, that be developed. And it's really cool to, look back on it now. I'm really thankful for choosing to go, and meet all these different people. And I, at the time, didn't know what I was going to expect, but I knew that it was something that I, again, wanted to do. And I knew that it was going to benefit me to have that extra education, in, you know, like theory and vocals and all that kind of stuff, and being able to play in these amazing bands with amazing musicians that if I didn't go to college, I would have never met. I would have never met the band that I play with today. I would have never met a lot. I would not have met the producer that I work with a lot on, you know, on a lot of my songs. So I'm really thankful that I chose to go, to post-secondary for music, and I think that me choosing to go was super important, and I'm really happy with that.
What were the biggest takeaways, you would say, from attending that program?
I think networking, that's always something that I'm super happy that I took away from post-secondary for sure. I think I can never stress enough to anyone who is starting their career or, you know, thinking about it being, you know, their life and a career for them. I always talk about, you know, make sure that you are always networking with people. And, you know, it's not even like networking, it's just making and connecting and building these relationships with people. And school's perfect for that too. And I connected with so many different individuals when I was in school, and I still have so many friends to this day, that I talk to on the daily, because of that, because of going to school for that. And, you know, I would have never met, again, would have never met my band that I play with. And that's another takeaway for sure, is meeting all these musicians that I can play with, you know, for different things, you know, whether it's jazz, whether it's, you know, playing for, you know, singing opera for, an event, or doing these corporate events, or doing, you know, an acoustic Friday event, or playing major festivals. A lot of the takeaway for me was building and connecting through different relationships and networking through college was, I would think, one of the biggest takeaways I took from post-secondary.
Would you recommend the program?
100%. 100%. No question. I think it's, you know, sometimes school's not for everybody, but there's things that you can definitely take away from going to school for music, for sure.
So your first major release as an independent musician was your single Stranger. Can you walk me through the songwriting process, what the single is about, and who was involved in the recording and production processes?
Oh, for Stranger, that's an exciting one, because when I wrote that one, I wasn't intentional on an actual subject yet. It was kind of just something that literally flew out. Like, I, that day had actually written two songs, and it was really cool because they had two different vibes to them. It was really interesting. But Stranger, particularly, I had written based off of a chord progression that I had made literally that day. It took me maybe 30 minutes to create Stranger, to kind of think of that idea, have something almost solidified, and then kind of just branch off of that another time I worked on it. But I had wrote Stranger on my old college roommate's piano in the basement of this college house we used to live in.
Nice.
And it was super easy. Like, it just kind of just really flew out. I obviously had a concept. I was going through a difficult time in my life. It was 2018. And I had just gotten out of a relationship. And you go through these, you know, you go through the five emotions, you know, anger, sadness, all these different things. And I think at that point, I had, you know, come to the conclusion that before you date somebody, before you get to know them, they're a stranger. And then you get to know them and they become your friend. And then if you like them and it's mutual, then you guys date. And if things don't work out, you break up. But then you're forced to unknow who they are and they become a stranger again.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of what the concept of stranger was essentially, you know, you knew this person, you would, you know, look at their face and you knew who they were, but now you don't. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who was involved in the like recording and production processes? I know that you created that while you were in school. Did you have a lot of help from fellow students?
Yeah, so I actually had the privilege of working with my friend Noah Rastigar, who is a Berklee College of Music major, and he is a music production major there. And I actually got the privilege of working with him while he was a student there. I still do work with him. He's a great guy. And yeah, it was awesome. The concept was there. I had a very rough demo that I showed him, and he really liked it, and we worked with that concept, and it took us a bit, but I connected with a couple of my fellow musicians that I met through school, and we had set a date to go into the studio and record live instruments, from drums, bass, guitar, and obviously made vocals. I worked with Matt Wincroft. I had worked with a good friend, Quinn, who played bass, and we did some guitar, which was done by Noah, and we had some harmonies and stuff on there too. So it was a very it was a collective of a lot of different people that I've met through school that had worked on the project.
How was the reception from family and friends when you released it? And how did it feel to release your first professional single?
It was definitely nice. I didn't expect the amount of support. And when I released it, I had, you know, everyone has anxiety when they release their first debut single. It just comes with the nature of caring and being an emotional musician. And I think it's, you know, that just plays into who we are as musicians. We're very emotional people. My family had, they received it quite well, actually. I was really happy with that. It was something that they didn't really see coming. It wasn't something that I had talked about with them prior. I just kind of said, hey, I'm releasing a song, like, here's, you know, and it was again, like, trial and error. Mm-hmm. It got to a point where it's been consistent, and I'm happy with that. There's been it was really received quite well.
Yeah, and it's actually hit over 1,000 streams on Spotify, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's very exciting. Mm-hmm. So your second single was Happy, featuring another Hamilton musician and Mohawk College grad, actually, rapper LT the Monk. How did you come up with the idea behind the song, and how was the writing process? Did you write it with LT?
So I had approached LT about the opportunity to be on a song with me. I love LT. I love his style. I think what he stands for is super cool. Very different from a lot of what's going on in the music industry, and I think that's super dope. I had approached him with the idea of writing this song, and it's ironic because obviously Happy is not a happy song. Mm-hmm. I told him what I essentially was going through at the time and what I really wanted to focus on being the song. And he came up with his verse on his own, but we had a demo to start. So I kind of sent him what I had and what the vision was, and then he kind of did his own thing when it came to that. But it was really cool how it came together.
Yeah.
Eventually when it was finished. But on my end, I had you know, it was right fresh out of a breakup. And it was actually surprising because I wrote Happy before I wrote Stranger, which is actually really cool. It was really fresh. And, you know, when you're most emotional is a lot of the time when things, beautiful things can happen out of that. And I sat in front of a piano and I put my voice memo on my phone. Like I just pushed record and I just started playing a chord progression and singing what I wanted. And it just kind of flew out. Like it wasn't molded yet, but I wanted to really be authentic in that and showcase that everyone goes through different things. And I still have that voice memo and I bawled my eyes out in that voice memo, and I listen to it now and I laugh, but back then it was heartbreaking. But out of that, I was able to write something that I and a lot of other people can relate to.
Do you plan on featuring more musicians in your music in the future or working with more local artists?
I definitely do, yeah.
Yeah. Who's a dream collaborator of yours? I guess like both local and international?
Oh my goodness. I think on a songwriting perspective, Julia Michaels is 100% one of my dream collaborators as far as songwriting goes. Olivia Rodrigo is definitely up there as well. I think as artist vocals, oh wow, it's hard to pick just one because there's so many amazing people that I want to work with. But I'd like to collaborate with Ariana Grande for sure. Mm-hmm. Or Cardi B, because I think that'd be dope. And those are like more international, like very AAA artist vibe. And I think as far as local goes, there's a lot of different and unique local talent in Hamilton. And I think to have a lot of different people collaborate on a song, I think would be really cool. Have a collective of artists kind of coming together, and that could be, you know, whomever. I know a lot of different musicians within the city. I would love to work, and we have written a couple songs together, actually, me and Aisha, also known as Life from the Tribe. Mm-hmm. We have written a couple things together, and hopefully we'll have something out in the future together.
I'm definitely looking forward to that. I know you guys have a couple of things in the works, and I'm definitely excited for that. You were awarded the opportunity to perform at Hamilton's Bayfront Park in 2019 for Canada Day. How did that come about, and how was that experience?
It was actually cool because I had messaged Tim, he runs that. He is part of Sonic Onion. And I reached out to him about Supercrawl, actually, because I know that Supercrawl is a big festival that I was able to play a couple times, actually. And I reached out to him about Supercrawl, but then he reached out to me just after that about Canada Day, and I thought that was super cool. Got the opportunity to actually have a conversation with him, which was super awesome because he's such a great guy. And it just came out pretty much like that. It wasn't anything too crazy, but I'm really happy that I got the privilege to play. It was a really fun time.
Yeah, for sure. I actually didn't know that you've performed at Supercrawl twice. I know that you did perform in 2019, and I was there. But if you want to tell the listeners how that came about and how that experience was.
Yeah, for sure. I love Supercrawl. It's one of my favorite things about being in Hamilton, and not having it for the past little bit's been kind of sad. I just remember, you know, the warm nights and getting like the chimney ice cream cones and walking around and listening to all the live music at night. Mm-hmm. And it's such an amazing feeling. If anyone has not gone, you definitely should go. And it's amazing. I, in 2019, was able to play Supercrawl. And it was one of the first times, actually, that I got to, it was the first time that I actually got to play as a solo artist, and not with a band, or not, like, in a band. So the first time I played Supercrawl, I was in a band called The Groove Machine, which was a college band that me and my friends in college had put together. And it was cool. It was great while we lasted. We had a lot of cool gigs that we got to play. And we got to meet a lot of cool people. And then obviously, you know, people graduate, people move on to different things. And I wanted to take my stuff to the next level. And I was able to connect with Tim to play Supercrawl and get to play that in 2019 as a solo artist with a band to back it up. So that was really fun.
Mm-hmm. Do you hope to perform again for Supercrawl once the festival is like up and running like usual?
I would love to. Mm-hmm. I think Supercrawl is a great way to promote local artists and support the people who are in the city. I think it's, you know, obviously super important to represent the local arts that are here. And I love Supercrawl. It's one of my favorite festivals, if not my favorite festival, to attend and be a part of and support. And it's definitely my favorite.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a quick break and play a recent single from Juliana. The track Bad For Me was released just a few months back in March of 2021 and is about the dangers of refusing to leave a toxic relationship.
I told you, you were the one for me. You were my ecstasy. Baby took all of me. I can't get you out of my brain. Making me go insane. So I can let you go now. You have all of me, but still you play these games. Can't make up your mind, you're cursing on my name. You're bad for me, I know. Know that you're bad for me. Know that you're bad for me, I know. Can't seem to get you off my mind. You told me I was the one for you, but can't catch me with your crew. Guess she's not over you. You're sleeping right next to her. She's wearing your Astro shirt. It's not really what I'm worth. You have all of me, but still you play these games. Can't make up your mind, you're cursing on my name. I feel sorry, boo, but you should be ashamed. But I don't know why I can't seem to get you off my mind. Know that you're bad for me, I know. I know. Know that you're bad for me. Know that you're bad for me, I know. Can't seem to get you off my mind when I know that you're bad for me. Know that you're bad for me, I know. I know. Know that you're bad for me. Know that you're bad for me, I know. Can't seem to get you off.
have just joining us, this is Hot Shots On Air, and tonight I'm speaking with Juliana Jones, an R&B/pop singer-songwriter based in Hamilton in Toronto. So we just got back from playing Bad For Me, your single that was released in March of 2021. What was the inspiration behind that track, and what do you want your listeners to take away from the single?
So I love Bad For Me. It's one of my favorite songs, I think, that I've been a part of, like, for the production and songwriting. I think the one thing that, well, I guess Bad For Me is essentially about being with somebody who you know is bad for you, as cliche as that is. You're, whether it's you're in a relationship, friendship, whatever it is, and you are seeing all of these red flags, but you still are, you know, hanging around them, you know, doing your thing, whatever. And you know that they're bad for you. And you know that they're playing games. You know that they're kind of fooling around behind the scenes, but, and you know that they're bad for you, but you kind of still hang around and chill out with them. The one thing that I'd probably say for my listeners, who resonate with Bad For Me is definitely to know your worth and know when it's time to call it quits, when you know that you're being played, essentially, and know that you can definitely find a lot better, and better things will arise from that, for sure.
Well, I'm glad you're being very transparent about that, because I think that helps a lot of people, especially like
definitely
women.
It's something that isn't really spoken about, I think, and it is, but to a certain extent, I feel like, and that's just, it's not even just in music, it's in life too. I feel like a lot of people, you know, they downplay a lot of situations as far as, you know, like, you know, people cheating or whatever it is, right? Like, people really downplay it, and sometimes people feel really embarrassed by it, and I feel like it happens, unfortunately. And it sometimes happens to good people, and it's very unfortunate that happens that way, but to really emphasize that through music, I think, is something that people can really resonate with.
Definitely. Who worked behind the scenes on that single with you?
So I'd worked with, my great friend, Garrett Lajoie. Mm-hmm. He is someone that I actually went to school with. We had a really great, connection through school, and we just kind of kept that going, into an amazing friendship that we have now. We've done a lot of stuff together as far as music is concerned. I sent him a really bad demo at like 2 a.m. when the night that I wrote Bad For Me. And it was like mid-December. I was feeling really low. It was a really low point in my life. And I wrote Bad For Me. And it was about 1 a.m. I'd finished writing it about 1:30. It took me half an hour, 40 minutes. And I sent him the demo like 2. And, he sent me an email the next day and said that he really liked it. And then we, in 3 weeks, finished it. And, I was really happy with the way that, we finished it, because I had wrote it originally for a R&B style type of song, and we took it to this whole other level. It was something I was not expecting to happen. It was very calypso, and, you know, it was something that I wasn't expecting, but it was something that I fell so in love with very quickly. And then we collaborated with my friend, Milan, who is known by Milano Music on social media. He has, he's mixed and mastered the song, and working with him was also a dream. It was great. Super easy, very like transparent, super communicative. Like it was super awesome to work with both of those on there.
That's a very quick turnaround time for that song. Is that unusual for you as an artist, or is that usually how quick you can turn out songs?
I think it depends. I think now, knowing what my drive and my vision is for myself as an artist, as a brand, etc., my turnaround time is a little bit different going forth to what I write and what I'm doing as far as like, you know, doing the whole marketing and all that, for future singles and whatnot. But that was something that I knew that I just had to get out. Same thing with Stranger too. Like that was my first single that I released. I didn't anticipate, the response that I got, but it was also something that I just knew I had to release. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really push Stranger as a single Like, I didn't do a marketing campaign for it. I didn't really do a big marketing campaign for Bad For Me either, but it was something that I just knew that I had to, like, let release into the world, and let that go and have that emotion and have all that feeling inside of me be free and let everybody else know. And if they resonated with the tune, then they kind of felt the same way. And that was definitely that.
Bad For Me sound strays a little bit from the style that your listeners typically know you for. Why did you change up your sound for the single? And do you plan on incorporating more of this sort of dancey electronic sound into future tracks?
Yeah, I definitely do. It was something that when I was doing Stranger, it was something, again, like I wanted to kind of let it go as what I heard it as. And I definitely incorporate, again, like a lot of pop influences with an undertone of rock, because I love my electric guitar, and some hip hop influences as well. A lot of the couple singles that are going to be coming out in the near future have a lot of different variety of stuff that still holds true to who I am and what I am as an artist and what music I listen to and what I want to put out. And that's definitely still the same, but it's more of who I am now, and what I've developed, who I am developed as an artist.
You've begun stepping into the YouTube space recently. You know, you besides covers and besides recordings of your singles, you actually recently created a vlog about the behind the scenes work of a recent photo shoot you put together. Why did you decide to start expanding your content, and what do you hope to create in the future?
So I always liked vlogging, but I could never find the right content to vlog, because I used to have a vlog channel on YouTube, but I never really took it too seriously. Like, I would always like to post about my life and stuff, but it was something that I didn't find a lot of people resonated with as far as just that. Like, it's just like regular life. So I wanted to incorporate some cool things that people would find super interesting about my life as a musician. And I feel like that's something that I'm definitely going to be incorporating a lot more of. I got a lot of good responses on that video, and people really engaged well with seeing what that looks like from an artist's perspective, because there's not a lot of that online, you know, from a local scene, from someone, an artist who is starting from the ground up and showcasing what they're going through as an artist and kind of developing all of that and showcasing that. So
what do you hope to create in the future with your YouTube channel?
I definitely think to be more versatile. I would still obviously love to do a lot more music stuff, because that's my main focus and goal, obviously, but definitely showcase a little bit more of my life, a little bit more like songwriting, doing a lot more songwriting stuff, eventually getting to YouTube Live and doing a couple of covers and just doing all of that. All of those three things, really, just vlogging the behind the scenes of different events, whether it's, you know, big festivals, songwriting things, just really showcasing and showing people how they can do the same if they really want to.
So your most recent single will be released on the 18th, but this episode is pre-recorded, so it's actually out right now. That single is called Can't Help It. So what's the song about, and how was that writing process?
So I wrote Can't Help It. Oh my gosh, it would have been over a year ago. It's been a year and a half almost, if not 2 years ago, since I wrote Can't Help It. I wrote it with Garrett, and that was something that was really cool. We just planned a co-write, I believe it was 2019, so it's been over a year and a half now. we got together, and he came in with a chord progression that I thought was super cool, and there was one a video that I had seen, like, literally the night before, and this person was saying, like, don't, you know, help. I forget what the quote was exactly, but it was, don't help the person that put the fire on the house. Like, help them. Like, don't help them. It was a weird quote. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it was like, don't help the person who gave you the fuel to burn the fire or something weird like that. But it was really cool. Really cool concept. I love that. Like, you know, you can't help but help the people who are troubled when you are really in love with them. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I was going through at the time. I was in this toxic one-sided relationship, and it was interesting, to say the least, to see now growing up from that and being a part of that, you know, knowing that it's, you know, realizing what that meant, and going back and seeing that, writing through the emotion that I was feeling. And we had started writing down how I was feeling. We started kind of collaborating on what that was, you know, what I wanted to say and what I wanted to put into words. And it kind of just really flew out. We wrote pretty much the whole song in one sitting, which was awesome. And yeah, I can't help, it's been through the ringer. It's been through a lot of remodeling and reconstruction for the past year and a half. But now she's finally out, and it's nice to have that satisfaction in knowing that I've worked really hard. And there were a lot of downs when working with this particular song, because there were so many different moving parts, and a lot of those moving parts got delayed, you know, and it was before COVID, but then it was during COVID, and then all these different things. And I honestly thought that Can't Help It wasn't going to come out, because I, you know, there were so many things that were just happening that were just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And I just felt like a never ending roller coaster of, this song is never going to get out. No one's going to get to hear this. I was really upset for a while, because I'm really proud of this song. I feel like it's something that someone can listen to and really resonate, you know, knowing that, why is that, like, why am I still here? You know, like, I, show me why, or, you know, like those kinds of feelings that you get of, you know, I can't help but fall in love with you is literally one of the lyrics in the song. Like, I act like I don't know what's going on, and I like, I'm acting like I don't know how I feel about you, but I, like, everyone and their mom knows that, you know, how I feel. So it's something that I am really happy with, and yeah, I'm really happy that it's out now. So
I am too. I love the song. And what do you hope your listeners take away from listening to that song?
I feel like with this particular song, people are going to take what they want from it. I feel like they're going to find a connection through it that's going to resonate to whatever they're going on in, whatever going on in their life. And I think from, you know, a songwriter standpoint, I wrote it based on what I was going through, but from a listener standpoint, I think it's really cool to listen to someone's story and be like, oh, I felt the same way 3 years ago, or I'm going through this right now. Like, you know, this is really cool to hear somebody else's version of it. So it's cool that I think at this point, I let it go to everyone and the universe, and they can do what they will with that, and let them kind of find and feed their story with this song.
What do you feel has changed about your songwriting from Stranger to now, Can't Help It?
Definitely the experiences I've been through the past, like, 2-3 years. I have a lot more to write about, a lot more experiences as someone in their early 20s. There's a lot of heartbreak. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of conflict. There's so much that someone goes through in their early 20s that, you know, can potentially be written in a song. And, you know, their songs could be based off of another song that they've heard, and the concept is great. So I think, like, there's so many different inspirations and ideas that I've had the privilege of coming across and experiencing through my life since I've written Stranger. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have or be able to document these in two songs. And there's so much more material that I've been able to write about that hasn't been released yet. And I can't wait for people to hear the other things that, you know, hopefully someone else can listen to and relate to and really find helpful in a way to either close a chapter in their life or release an energy that they felt they needed to let go of, whether it's a person or you know, a thing, whatever. There's definitely some hope in that.
You're someone who's been performing in Hamilton for a few years now, playing basically most venues, performing at Artwood Art Bar's final show before they closed, and just generally appearing across the city at arts events. Where would you like to get more involved in within the Hamilton arts community?
I would like to get myself involved with more of, I would eventually love to get involved with some business stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be super cool to get my hands dirty in that. I've always been a fanatic for business, especially mm-hmm. music business, and making sure that anyone who is starting to make sure that their stuff is covered, that they're, you know, they know what their copyrights are, they know what their legal assets are. I think it's super important for any artist who is an independent to really know what that's like. And that's something that I treasure dearly to my heart because I was never really taught that. That was something that I learned myself. And now being able to have the privilege of actually going to school for music business currently, I think that it's such a great understanding, and being able to have that knowledge, I would love to participate in some, you know, more conferences, be in more like event planning, and try to get my hands dirty in that realm for sure.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is so special about Hamilton's music and arts community?
The diversity, 100%. I feel like there's so many different people that are within the city of Hamilton, and every part is recognized. I think it's awesome to have and be a part of a city that has every single genre covered. And I think it's awesome that we get to be that and be represented very well through the social media pages, or, you know, through the council, or through the events and through the festivals that Hamilton has. I think it's super important that we are super diverse as a city, and to have a music culture like that is super important.
Who are some key players in the Hamilton music scene, like, you know, musicians and artists that you think should be talked about more?
Definitely people who are behind the scenes, like the people who run the events. Mm-hmm. There are a couple people who I can't, well, there's so many, it's hard to pick a couple, but definitely people who run like Sonic Onion. They're talked about as the label, but I feel like the people who run it definitely should be represented more. And, you know, people who run the Gasworks, people who, trying to think here. There's so many different areas I think that should be represented more. Definitely people in the Arts Council too. Anything like arts, for music, like Arts Council, Hamilton Arts Council, people that are really behind the scenes, like doing more business side of things, because I feel like only people see a lot of the events more than the behind the scenes. So anyone who's doing more of the behind the scenes definitely should be represented more, because they do a lot of work for events to happen, like anyone who's a part of Supercrawl or any of the other festivals that happen within the city or anything like that.
So you've recently started school at Humber for music business. Why did you decide to pursue that?
So I applied last year. I didn't think I was going to get in. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I really didn't think I was going to go back to school, but I knew that I wanted to get more education as far as being, you know, more business savvy, especially when it comes to music. You want to make sure that you're covered in all assets, especially as an independent. So I applied not really thinking that I was going to get in, and then I got in. So I've been working through the Humble Music Business Program, and it's super insightful. I think it's something that I definitely knew that I needed, but didn't know that I would need, if that makes any sense. It's very informative as far as, you know, the content and the way that it is. It isn't intensive, though. It's two semesters in one, so it's very intense as far as workload and the classes that are talked about. But it's super educational at the end of the day. The people that you meet are incredible from all walks of life, and it's amazing to have those connections from people like literally all around the world. It's amazing, especially with being able to be virtual. you have people from, you know, Vancouver, you know, you have people who are local in Ontario, but who are in a different city. You know, they're not really local to Hamilton or Toronto. So it's cool to be able to talk to all these different people who are in different areas of the world and have one thing in common.
Do you have any career goals that you're pursuing with this additional schooling?
I do, yes. I have a couple, but the reason why I took the program in the first place is so that I could be a better representation for myself as a brand. And I think every artist, if they don't have anyone to support them, to find something that supports you. So being that person to advocate for yourself, because you at this time, if you are just starting, you don't have anyone really advocating for you and really talking for you, and you don't have a manager, you don't have these things. So to be able to go through in a really intense course, like the music business course, I think it's super important to, you know, they really go in depth, like super in depth about different, you know, parts of the industry, from finance to marketing to everything. And it's great because, again, the reason why I took it was to benefit for my own artistry as an independent, because I'm not obviously signed to a label and these things. But if I can do all the work myself for right now and really put myself in a great position, I think that I could benefit really greatly from that, from really pushing myself in all aspects.
What are some projects that we can look forward to seeing from you?
I have a couple coming up. I have a couple of songs that I'm just finishing up, which is awesome. And a couple of other, like, little things. Like, I am actually working on a project right now. I'm not really sure if I can speak on it, but it's super cool. It'll be out, I'm thinking 2022, but this is a collaborative project with a bunch of different arts from Hamilton and the local areas, surrounding areas. It's not just music, it's performers in general. And I'm really excited for this project to come out into the world when it's officially done. But I'm really excited for when that comes out. And yeah, working on some different aspects of the entertainment industry. Again, diving a little bit more into music business stuff, really getting a grasp on that, and more entertainment like acting and modeling as well.
Well, thank you so much for hopping on here and talking with me today. This was great.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, literally anytime. So you can find Juliana on all streaming services, Instagram and Facebook as Juliana Jones, on Twitter as Juliana Jones with 3 S's, and Juliana Jones Official on TikTok. To wrap things up, I've got a very recent Juliana Jones single for you. We just spoke a little bit about it earlier. So the song dropped earlier this month, Can't Help It, is a single about being in a one-sided relationship.
Hey y'all, what's up? It's Juliana Jones, and you are listening to Hot Shots on Air on 101.5 The Hawk.
Should've known that playing with fire will only get you burned. I should've known I gave him the lighter. Things worse, I should really know. My desire is one I should let go. I should have known you were playing with fire. I didn't see it, now I'm breathing through this smoke. Got me knocking on your front door, don't know what I'm really here for. You know how you do, not my view. me in too close. Is it a sin? You're making this harder, yeah. You're so mad to dote. I should let you go, cause I know I'm to your point.